Fanny Crosby said, face to face, I shall behold him. Amen.
Face to face, I shall behold him. Far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory. I shall see him by.
This happens,
and when the roar is gone up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
How many of y'all planning on being there?
Amen.
How many of y'all want to get a little practice in before you get there? Just take your hands and lift them up like this and say, praise the Lord. See, some of those Pentecostal folks think they got you whipped on that part. No way. Miss Judy told me she was shouting it out last night down in South Carolina. I was over at Central Baptist Church on Overbank Road, and we was having a shouting hallelujah good time over there. If you was at home, you should have been with us. Glory to God. Boy, the Lord is real. God is God, amen. And he wants to bless his people, and he'd like to hear you praise his name. Amen. We're going to sing Oh Glory this morning, and we're going to start off the new year with one of my favorite songs. I'm not going to sing the solo today because I don't want to push it too hard, but I'm going to wear a crown. Amen. Pray for us as we sing.
Promise.
that just want to make you want to join the choir? You say, boy, you sure do ask about the choir. That's because I want a lot of people. I'm looking for 100 people in this choir. I'd like to see Brother J.W. just build a stage all the way out there, you know, so we can just have about 100 people up here. Can you imagine what it'd be like having 100 people up here singing? Woo! I bet I'd have a bald spot on the back of my head. You say, why would you want to do that? Because he deserves it. That's the only reason. Well, it's going to be great when we get there. But as all the Christians know, we have to wait until either we hear him come or hear him call us. Either way is all right with me. But give me that key right there, ladies, if you will. But until then, my heart will go singing. Sing it together. But until then, my heart will go singing. Until then, we're sure of carrying on. Until the day, my eyes see all the saints. With another, so glad to have you here today.
I think the last time I sang this song, but I think it's appropriate to start out the year that we have one question that we can ask and know the answer, and that is anything too hard for God? It's out of your hands, you've done all you can do. You've given God your problems, it's no longer up to you. You've prayed the prayer of faith, you're standing on God's truth. While you're waiting on the answer, he has a question for you. Is anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond his power to solve? And other situations he's not the master of. Is anything too hard for God? Only believe, trust His word, you'll see. His plans are now unfolding, performing perfectly. It's clear how much He loves you. Look at all He's done. For all your questions, there's really only one. Is anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond His power to solve? And other situations He's not the master of. Is anything too hard for God? And other situations He's not the master of. Is anything God?
Altar's open. God is in business.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Need to come talk to them. Yes. Amen. Yes.
It's out of your hands, you've done all you can do. You've given God your problem, it's no longer up to you. You've prayed the prayer of faith, you're standing on God's truth. While you're waiting on the answer, He has a question for you. Is anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond His power to solve? And other situations He's not the master of. Is anything too hard for God? Only believe, trust His word, you'll see. His plans are now unfolding, performing perfectly. It's clear how much He loves you. Look at all He's done. For all your questions, there's really only. Is anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond His power to solve? And other situations He's not the master of. Is anything too hard for God? Other situations He's not the master of. Is anything too hard for God?
probably the most quiet you've had this week. Hard to get quiet sometimes, ain't it? In fact, we don't like it quiet. That's why we've got CD players and radios and cassettes and boom boxes in our cars. We just don't like quiet. But boy, he said, be still and know that I'm God. Amen. Amen. There's just some things that ain't in your hand, my hand. Open your Bibles to John chapter 21 this morning. John chapter 21. Of us today, and I appreciate you being here this morning. I appreciate the goodness of God. Have visited with us this morning. Is this, if I got this right, Carrie Shelton? Is it Carrie Shelton? Right, well, you raise your hand there. Amen. God bless you. Guest of Roger and Nancy Fender. God bless you for being here today. And Kristen Neely over on Beeston Wells. Amen. God bless you, Kristen. Good to have you today. We're glad for our visitors. We're glad for all of you today. And praise the Lord for, most of all, for His presence. I mean, you can be here, and that don't mean so much without Him being here. And I praise the Lord for the opportunity we have this morning. In the book of John, chapter 21, would you stand one more time, and we'll read the text verse. And I trust that the Holy Spirit of God will speak to us today and for these times together. I want to tell you something, folks. We don't come together this morning just to have a service. Amen. It's a serious and it's a holy thing. Amen. And it's a fearful thing to come together and say that we've come together in His name. Yes, it's just like having a birthday party and celebrating everybody else but the one who had the birthday. And this is God's house. This is holy ground when we get here. Amen. It's just a building. It's just brick and mortar. It's just fabric. It's just upholstering. It's just pavement. But when the saints of God come, amen, and we gather together in His name, amen, amen, you go this morning to the Catholic Church. Did you know that when you go in, the women will most, if they're still doing what they usually have done, cover their heads. You know why they do that? They say we're going in the presence of God. And there's and that is an act of submission. And we come to the house of God, we ought to say, we're coming into His house. But more than that, we need to ask Him to come into this house. This house. Amen. This house is God's house. If you're saved by the grace of God, this is His house. His house. John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed He Himself. This is how He done it. These were together, Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of His disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. I've had that blessing. But when the morning was now come, thank God the morning will come. No matter how long the night, morning's coming. The psalmist said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Amen. Amen. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. He'd been there all night. I want you to know, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how dark it is. He ain't on the other side of the universe. He's standing near. That old song we used to sing, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. But when morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. You see, you don't get nothing from God until you admit you need it. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It's the Lord. It is the Lord. Father, thank you. I reckon that's what he wanted to hear. Amen. Amen. You be seated. Our Lord's been crucified. They're scared to death they're going to be next. They know they've got enemies because they walk with him. And when they come together in the upper room, Jesus came and breathed on them. Nothing takes the breath of God. Nothing takes the breath of God. Nothing. There ain't enough money in your budget to buy this. There ain't enough position in Washington to buy this. But look at it this morning. Peter had denied the Lord. Peter said in himself, Boy, I blowed it now. I might as well just go back to where it was when he found me. You ever felt like that? Have you ever thought I blowed it so much? This old trying to live for God gets so hard. There are so much burdens and aggravations. I might as well go back to where I was. Peter said, I'm just going to go back to fishing. See, the thing about it is, when you backslide, you don't go by yourself. You take somebody with you. You get out of the will of God. You cause others to get out of the will of God. Peter went to back to the boat, and a bunch of them said, "We're going with you." They got out there, and they knew how to fish. Old Peter was a fisherman when the Lord found him. He knew how to fish. Our problem is, a lot of times, we know how to do it. If God decides not to show up, or we don't invite his presence, we know how to do it. We know how to sing. We know how to preach. We know how to take an offering. We know how to hand out bulletins. We know how to conduct a service. Why, we can go through the ritual. It's been done all over this country this morning while we're here. There's churches going through their little old ritual. God ain't been there in 10 years, and they don't even know it. And they're happy just like they are. And they got on that boat, and they launched out from shore and started fishing. And it's got cold, and the fog's rolled in, and they've got their hooks in water. They know how to do it. But there ain't nothing happening. You ever been in your Christian life where there wasn't nothing happening? And they went like that all night. Somebody was standing over on the shore, and he hollered out, and he said, "Hey, have you caught anything?" They said, "We've been here all night, and we ain't caught nothing." That voice said, "Well, put your hook on the other side of the boat. You'll find some fish." And they did. They found so many fish they couldn't even haul them. Then the scripture said, "But when morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore." He'll be there when you've labored all night in yourself and your own energy. When battles have come against you, and when hell's come against you like by the acre, and you've done the best you could to stand, morning will come. And Jesus will be standing on the shore. Somebody said, "Who is that over there?" Somebody said, "Well, I wish you'd look who showed up." Look who's here. Could I tell you, could I ask you this? Could I let you know this morning? Look who's here. Look who's here. When you sinned, look who's in the garden. Adam and Eve had sinned against God. They transgressed with him, against him. They'd been deceived, and then Adam willingly sinned. And immediately they did that. They know that was wrong. They know they was against God. Let me tell you something this morning, Christian. When you rebel against God, and when you go in the direction opposite of what you're supposed to go, then you don't have to have the preacher to tell you. There's that Holy Spirit that lives in you will immediately let you know that you're wrong. Adam and Eve was walking in the garden, and all of a sudden they heard the voice of God. Eve looked over at Adam and said, "Look who's here." And they ran and hid. But folk, when you sin, there's no use to run and hide from him. Run to him. Amen. The Bible said the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Look who's here. When we've got sorrow, look who's at the grave. I've stood over 30 times in 2006. I stood beside of the graves of some that had committed suicide. I stood beside of the grave of some that went with cancer. I stood beside the grave of some young people, and I stood beside the grave of some old people. But you know what I found? Look who's here. In 1998, when my daddy died, the bottom of my world dropped out. But my soul, look who showed up. Some of you got mommies and daddies that you've said goodbye to. Some of you have lost little babies. But I want to tell you, look who's here. In your sorrow, look who's at the grave. I see him at the grave of Lazarus. I see him at the casket of the widow's son in Nain. And I see him this morning. Look who's here. When we've sinned, look who's in the garden. When we've got sorrow, look who's at the grave. But when we have sadness, look who's on the road. I see those two disciples leaving, going back to Emmaus. And they're sad, and it's been 3 days, and they watched the Son of God crucified. They watched him whipped and cursed and spit on and beat, and they watched him put in a grave, the stone rolled over it and a seal put on it. And they walked off, and they was looking so sad on the road to Emmaus. You ever been on that road? I have. Boy, they feel so hopeless. They feel so hopeless. But while they was walking, look who showed up. Look who showed up. Man, when your heart's broke and you're disappointed and sad and dejected and down in the mouth and walking on the road, but somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. I don't know where that they had been. I don't know how long that they had been walking. But Jesus appeared, and the Bible said their eyes were holding that they shouldn't know him. I was watching, just before I went to bed last night, I watched a documentary on the Twin Towers, and there's one of the women that had worked in the Twin Towers and heard another office worker deciding that they had to come down and get out of there. And she got to think about her boss that was still up on the 63rd floor. And she thought, I've got to go up there and make sure that he gets off. And she said, I started to get back on the elevator. She said, a woman I didn't even know come and touched me on the shoulder. Said, now you know you can't go back up there. She didn't know who the woman was. She didn't know anything about it. But I thought to myself, I wonder, could it have been an angel that God dispatched? See, God takes care of you through things and through people that you don't even know. And God will take care of you if you'll let him. And they're all walking when they've got sadness. And that stranger that appeared on the road to Emmaus, and he said, why are you all looking so sad? And they begin to tell him. They said, we've been following a man named Jesus. Man, we had such great hopes in him, but they crucified him. He said he'd get up a third day. This is the third day, and we've not saw him. But they got to where they was going. And one of the men looked over at him and said, it's getting late. The sun's fixed to go down. Why don't you come in and abide with us? I want to tell you, folk, it's too late in the day not to invite him in. And they sat down. And one of them looked over at him and said, sir, before we eat, would you like to say blessing? can you imagine asking Jesus to say the blessing? And the Bible said when he lifted the bread and broke it, they saw the nail prints in his hands.
Thank you.
Look who showed up. Oh, when we're surrounded on every side by trouble, look who's in our mountain. Elisha was at Dothan, and the enemy was after him, and the armies had surrounded him. And he couldn't get out. They meant to kill him because they hated what he had to say to them. And a young man said, "Oh, Elisha, look at all these armies we're surrounded." That old man of God just said, "Lord, just open his eyes." And when he did, they was twice as many showed up to take care of them as they was against them. When you're surrounded, look who'll show up. When you're at Sunday worship, like this morning, look who come to church. What I'm trying to tell you, all I'm trying to say, it's all about Jesus. It ain't about me or you or what you want. It's about him. Back in September, I sat one day reading. The Holy, sweet Holy Spirit just come up and sit down beside of me and said, "J.W., homeland just needs to get back to having church." We can fuss about a lot of things, and Baptists are notorious for that. But folk, the main ingredient of why we're here is to worship him. It's just to have church. Just to have church. Rewind her tape. Tammy, come on back and sing. I went a different direction what I meant to go. But look who's here. You need somebody. You need him. You see, he's here. He just needs you to honor him enough to acknowledge he's here. To acknowledge he's here. You say you're strange, DePew. I know it. Hope to get worse. Tammy, you come on and get ready to sing. I just want you to take time for a minute. Just acknowledge he's here. Don't sit there and be a spectator. Anybody can do that. I want us to bow our heads for just a minute. I wonder if this morning for somebody here and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm going to hell. Pray for me, preacher." Would you slip your hand up? Some are coming to the altar to pray about other things, but I wonder, would you slip that hand up this morning and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. Pray for me. Pray for me, preacher. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be lost. I can't feel what you all are feeling this morning, but I know there's something here, but I can't feel it. But I want to be able to feel that. Pray for me. I want to be saved." Would you just slip up that hand and humble your heart this morning and say, "Pray for me, preacher. I ain't coming back to you. I ain't going to embarrass you." But would you just slip that hand up this morning and say, "Pray for me." I'm wondering this morning if you'd be honest about it. Have you drifted? Have you lost your zeal? Have you got some business occupied with other things? You don't even have time to serve God or worship God no more. You'd say, "Preacher, I need to get back to worshiping him. I know he's here. Pray for me, preacher. I just need to get back to worshiping God. I just need to get back to worshiping him. It ain't nobody's fault." People say, "Oh, I'd be close to God if so-and-so would get right." Well, it's a funny thing to me. that they're doing okay and you're the one that's suffering. What about you this morning? Listen, while she sings, while they start her tape, you got something you need to bring Jesus this morning. You need to come and talk to him this morning. But you just need to come and thank him for loving you. Will you? Come on. Come on. Come on.
It's out of your hands. You've done all you can do. You've given God your problems. It's no longer up to you. You've prayed the prayer of faith. You're standing on God's truth. While you're waiting on the answer, he has a question for you. Is anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond his power to solve? And other situations he's not the master of. Is anything too hard for God? Only believe, trust his word, you'll see. His plans are now unfolding, performing perfectly.
Yes, yes, yes,
it's yes. It's clear how much he loves you. Look at all he's done. For all your questions, there's really only one. Is anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond his power to solve? And other situations he's not the master of. Is anything he's not the master of? Is anything too hard for God?
Play. Can you play better? Yeah, okay. Just keep your heads bowed. We're going to just wait and do business with God this morning. Amen. Oh. You say, well, I'm hungry. Well, y'all eat breakfast before you come. Look who showed up this morning. My soul. You need to come pray this morning. Pride says I can handle my own problems. Pride says it ain't got bad enough I need God. But boy, it won't take it a minute to get that way. Won't take it a minute to get that way. Family I used to pastor in Alabama, they was the closest friends, that couple that Francis and I had. And I noticed he quit calling me after we moved up here. I've never seen anybody more excited, more enthused about serving God than he was. One of the finest couples I ever met. Now he's got an addiction. He got bitter over a preacher that went bad. They've got a 19-year-old boy that's having to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. They've got a daughter that's had to go to a psychiatrist for a treating eating disorder. He's got an addiction and won't admit it. Had it for years. She called me this week and on the phone over to the office and just poured out the whole thing. I sent her a CD. Got an email back yesterday. She said, I enjoyed every song on there, but she said, number 8 is my favorite. I've been thinking about home today. And I'm going to tell you, folk, I don't matter how good you think you've got your life, God's going to see to it that we stay aggravated enough till we don't want to stay here. You say, I got a problem. I've got trouble. Look who'll show up. Look who's here. Amen. Let's stand.